Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am your host, Emily Cleghorn, and I am so excited that you have decided to join me today. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. Together, we will empower each other to connect with who we were created to be versus who we were told to be in our trauma. And again, I'm so excited that you have decided to include me on this part of your journey. Today, I am so excited to welcome Nikki Jean to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. And today, I am so excited to have this conversation. It's a little bit weird to say that you're excited to have a conversation about this topic, but it is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. I'm highly, highly passionate about it. And I have been on my own journey with this. So today we are talking about parenting and triggers. How many of you listening have experienced maybe your kid having a meltdown and they're screaming at decibels that are assaulting your nervous system and you feel like you're going to snap? Well, there are ways that we can heal that. And I'm so excited to welcome Nikki to have a conversation about this. So welcome, Nikki.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for having me. And yeah, this thing is my kind of jam. I'm solo parent, 1 6.5-year-old Sunshine, who has an instrumental amount of energy levels and navigating that. And when, from what I've found and from what I've studied, and it's just very much they're such darling preciouses. Because the triggers that we, like, you hear that voice coming through your head and you're like, oh, that's my mom. Oh, that's my dad. Oh, that's my teacher, my grandparent, whoever it is. And you're like, oh, I didn't like that. And you notice that falling out of your mouth at that time, or your reaction as well. And in that space, it's very much coming into more conscious and more aware so that you're not handing over the baton of that trauma and being very compassionate instead of raking yourself over the coals, because we're all doing the best that we can in that moment. Mm-hmm. But a lot of, like, parenting brings up a lot of unresolved wounding.
Yeah, it's so true. Nobody ever let me know. I don't know about you, but they never told me that becoming a mother was going to be the most triggering thing ever in the history of my life. So that was a whole brand new surprise.
Yeah, that's not in the guidebook.
What guidebook?
Yeah, you're giving birth and you're going to be super triggered. You will have so many opportunities to release your childhood wounding with this little cherub. Oh, my life.
Oh. So, Nikki Jean, let's really begin by having you share a bit of your story and what led you down this path of being an intuitive coach that helps parents deal with their triggers.
Okay, so life experience. I have the wildest, wackiest movie script kind of a life. I've had really big meltdown moments and just really messy moments. And a lot of big stuff happened. And I kept on, like, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Whoever wrote my life has got such a good sense of humor. And I was like very, like, passive aggressive back coming there. Then the more I grew and the more I knew, I realized that I created this so that I could release those parts of me and come into the wholeness and unconditional love and really in a compassionate space. So I'm 41 now. I was widowed at 27 on holiday, you know, like, just really big, losing family members and big fat grief, emotional eating. I was pretty much twice the size of me after university, mental unwellness when I was a teenager, like so many different things that really took me to the depths of spaces to relieve myself. And I'm very much an opportunist. I'm very much, I've been in some dark spaces, but there, the last time I had a big fat meltdown, I ended up in the spiritual section of my local library reading the best books of my life. So, you know, for me, it's a very much come full circle. And my last job I was working in, like my last salary job before I stepped into this space, I was working in mental health and addiction support. And then I came across Gabor Mate's work through some like trauma and body. And I was like, I need to do that course. And so I did that year-long study, which opened me up to shadow work and understanding that I had to be the client and the therapist every week. And there's stuff that I've blocked out from childhood, which is my coping strategy, to really, I was like, oh, this is why I was reacting this way, and this is why I was behaving in this way. And so a lot of it is the compassion. And he took it back to childhood, like it's, but because of the spiritual element that I possess and that I embody, and I'm not saying no to, because there's a lot of people going through an awakening at the same time as well. My stuff was naturally going beyond childhood, which was a catalyst to go into past life and ancestral that comes down epigenetically through our lines. And we've come here, like for what I believe is we've come here to be the cycle breakers, to be the change makers, to relieve all of that stuff. And yes, it does feel gnarly, but on the other side of that, all of the epiphanies and the understanding and the lightness and the freedom that comes with that is phenomenal. It really, truly is. And I kind of quasi follow my human design. My son and I have the same, which is it's a low percentage in the entire population. And we are both mental projectors. We are here to guide the guides. And so it's like a house of two of us. Who's the guidier guide? And we both have our centers, like for us, we both reading our environment and all the energy, including everyone else's emotions. So he might come home from school and we're just pinging on that. He might have come home, like brought someone else's emotions home from school, or I could have from where and we're just pinging that back and forth. And so it's navigating that in that way. But if it's triggering for me, that is my work to do. And I'm consciously parenting to the, like, we're all doing the best that we can. So there's no wrongness, and we're all going through our growth. Because if you did it all at once, you wouldn't receive the delight of all the epiphanies. Like if you got to this, like if you're aiming for an end point of like, I need to be like this, you're going to miss out on all the juice along the way. And it's the delight in the journey as well, as messy as that feels. And like for me, I need a lot of like space and just sitting and being. And so navigating having this darling precious come in right in my face. He once dressed up at 5 a.m. in my freaking dinosaur costume and came in right in my face, and a part of me is like, ah, I just want to sleep, and a part of me is like, that is really funny. And not defaulting into who you think you were, you know, like you think you need to be, because they're also teaching us so much about fun and letting go and being present. And that can be triggering, because it's showing you where you're stuck in that space and where you weren't seen and held for when that happened to you. So your reaction isn't about you as an adult, it's about you as a child that's stuck in that space. And so the reparenting is instrumental, and the letting go one that really came up for me on my journey so far is letting go of how you needed your parents to be to support you even as an adult, like letting go of what that needs to look like, how they still need to show up for you from that wounded part of yourself. And there's a lot of fear for parents, they're going in there overcompensating for like, I don't want my parents, like, I don't want my kids to end up like I am, because it feels gnarly. But the only, then there's this overcompensation, and it's taking you away from yourself, and it's the inward journey and releasing yourself is actually going to free yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so often we feel like we need to go from A to M, like at the snap of a finger overnight, because your kid needs you to be whatever, more present, more whatever. And your brain will call bluff on you because it knows. And it's like there's a part of your brain that is very much like the Croods, the first movie. And they don't want to leave the cave because you don't know what's outside of the cave. So to heal at the snap of a finger overnight, first of all, I don't know that it's possible. And second of all, I believe it would cause a huge identity crisis that would cause more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Oh, yeah.
You have to go slow. Not only if like you need to go slow so that you're getting all of the insight and understanding that your healing provides you, but also so you don't cause more harm than good in your healing with an identity crisis. Because if you're traumatized as a child, there may not be a time. I know for myself, there is not a time when I remember myself pre-trauma. So if you don't remember who you were before you were traumatized, before all the crap happened, it takes some time to find that person.
And it's a big unraveling, and it's very much, we have all been traumatized, because stuck energy, it doesn't have to be a big thing like divorce or abuse or what, like those are big ticket items, but it can be, you fell off your bike and because your parents weren't, they were scared of their emotions. So they weren't, they're like, oh, just get up. You're fine. Get up. And your emotion was blocked in that space, and you learned how to block off your emotions. That is what gets stuck. And when I've worked with clients, it's been like a physical pain, and I've talked into it and it's released. That is trauma as well. It's where you were not seen and heard for who you were authentically are. That is what we all have it. And there's no wrongness in it, because we're going through some massive evolution. And there is a part of when you're going through this, like you really want to blame. Like we were conditioned to blame. Like we're not like, if my son goes into the pantry and he's gone, oh, I've gone up there and eaten this, instead of getting angry at him, I'll be like, thank you for being honest. Because when we were honest, like if a three-year-old looks at you and goes, oh, why is your tummy all jiggly and fat? And if you're reacting to that from your wounded self or going, you can't say that, they're shutting down their authenticity as well, where they're just curious and noticing about the world as well. And it's very much coming into that space of every stage and every step along the way is perfect for you. And I liken it at the moment, this beautiful analogy dropped in for me, I think it was last week or the week before, it's like wearing all the jackets in the middle of summer at the beach, like piping hot sun. Now these jackets have come from like your parents, your grandparents, your grandparents' grandparents. They've come from society, they've come from your friends, and it feels hella uncomfortable, and you're sitting there blaming the sun, and you're not taking off those jackets. Mm-hmm. And it is really uncomfortable. And having been on both sides of the coin of being like victim to why is this happening to me, and mm-hmm. coming into where I am now, where I'm so savvy and going through my triggers that when they come up, it becomes quicker and it's easier and it's mm-hmm. quicker. Yeah, that I'm like, oh, I'm becoming more sovereign
mm-hmm.
the more I release myself from that space and reclaiming who I am and those gifts yes. from where I was stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I would rather see and experience and know what I do here
mm-hmm.
and be on that side of the coin. And people will drop out of your life because you're mm-hmm. paving away in a new direction. And that's okay. It's like do what feels good for you.
Yeah. People are scared of what's unfamiliar. And yes. when you embark on this level of healing and self-awareness and recognizing that what you're reacting to when your kids are having a meltdown is not actually your kid, it's your wounded self, and you've got some work to do. They don't understand that. They don't get that. And it's very much, I've found it can be very much like crabs in a bucket. If you've ever put crabs in a bucket and one tries to escape, you'll notice that the other ones pull them down. They don't want them to get out. So sometimes you just have to love people where they're at. We're all on our own journey and love them from a distance.
Yeah. Exactly, because the work you do for yourself is supporting your relationships around you, and it's supporting the more you're releasing, the mm-hmm. lighter you are, the less reactive you are when you're parenting as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you move from the reactive parenting to responsive parenting, and that's huge.
Yes, and presence.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things and noticing those spaces that you are feeling uncomfortable in a pattern of, like, for me, when I am, for example, doing baking with my son, which he doesn't eat anyway. So I barely bake anymore because I don't want to eat all the cakes. but in that space, I get really like clenched up. I'm like, oh, you've got to do it like this. And then I ask, whose voice is this? So I have been in that space, and that's how epigenetically it's carrying down. And that could have mm-hmm. been a few generations back. But noticing when you are parenting, the parts that you are feeling really, really uncomfortable in, and there'll be a pattern. But could be in the housework, like needing the house to look a certain way. Because do you remember like our parents came from a space of like, the house looks clean, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to question mm-hmm. here.
My grandma's the presentation like that. God,
looks good. Nothing to question here. And is it the way that you fold your clothes? Like, it can be really like that, or like, hey, you've got to eat everything on your plate, like carrying down that scarcity consciousness, or you have to eat all of this food and then you receive the treat. And then I understood as an adult, having emotionally eaten, that I was trying to treat myself through food because I wasn't feeling good about myself, or mm-hmm. stuffing a whole lot of food that didn't taste, you know, like, oh, I've got to do this first and then I'll receive the treat. Like, all there's so much conditioning that's come through, and there's no wrongness in that, because we get to unravel it. We mm-hmm. really, really, truly do.
So Nikki, what are a few first steps that a mama could do who is just starting out on her journey? She's feeling triggered and she's over it. She's done. She don't want to feel this way anymore. What can she do to get started?
It's an awareness and listening to that part of you that is going, something needs to change. Mm-hmm. Now, anyone who is in that space, that like really messy, like heavy space, you're not going to see it. If you are gaining something from being blaming everyone else or poor me, you're not ready to come out. When you're ready to come out of that space, like some people aren't, yeah. It's like you've got that one friend who ends up the same relationship, and they're like, why does this keep happening to me? And they're not, and you can see it from a bird's eye perspective, but in the thick of it they can't, and they're not willing to hear that because they're not ready. They need to keep having those experiences. So when you start noticing there's got to be a better way, the awareness, when you start going into that space, get support. And it could be whoever feels good, like whatever feels aligned for you. It could be a counselor, it could be a therapist, it could be a coach, like wherever your intuitive hit is pulling you. Things like meditation, daily meditation have helped me, like that presence, and making time. You've got someone scrolling on the phone for an hour and they're like, oh, I don't have time to do anything for myself. Yes, you do. And it's very much that going with your heart of what aligns for you, for your, listening to you for your next steps. I'm really big on that. I'm really super big. And meditation on a daily practice, even if it's 5 to 10 minutes, is going to help clear the space so you can hear yourself. Because the things that you can get into, and it really depends on what, there's so many possibilities, but relieving yourself from those core spaces of where you are pinging and that you're just recreating your experiences. Noticing is first, like noticing awareness, compassion. If you're judging other people or judging yourself, you're creating a rift and that's going to be more work to do. It is so possible. People, when they're in the thick of it, they don't, and I've been there too, you don't believe that it's possible to be living in another way, or if you're up late at night with thoughts circulating in your head and that turns into another story, or you're so stressed that your shoulders are like this and you can't even breathe properly. I've been in all those spaces, and it, running away from yourself doesn't work anymore. And it's actually putting, it is stepping up and going, something's got to change. What's calling, what am I being called to do now? Because it's like putting all your junk in that, you know, that cupboard or that drawer where all of the crap goes in. You're like, yeah, just shove it. I can't see it. Shove it in there. And then you get one little teeny tiny spork and you put it in there, and it, the drawer won't shut, or the whole cupboard comes down and you have to inspect your stuff. This is like before you get to that heightened space. And it could be that your family that you were born into is so heightened on that, their central nervous system being pumped, that you're gaining so much because that feels familiar and comfortable to you. So there's going to be, for those people, it is very much breath work and yoga and things to bring down those spaces so you can unplug from that space. For me, my clients that come to me are very much there's a curiosity there, and then they realize why when they come to me, and it's, and I say, I awaken you to the freedom of your sacred self. We release the trauma from the core, and then you're guided by your authenticity and truth, and you come into the flow of that space. For some people, and because I compassionately hold space for people with no point of view, no judgment, that this deep stuff can rise, and then they learn how to be with themselves in that space. So it's very much, it is what aligns for you, and it, depending on your family system that you came into, there's going to be different avenues, but listen to your heart and know that there is a better way, and it is always your choice. You get a choice.
Yeah. I'm one of those people who definitely had to learn how to breathe. And that sounds so funny because I'm alive, right? I'm obviously breathing, but When I first started my healing journey, four-ish years ago, I discovered that I was holding my breath all of the time. And for me, I was, my fight or flight response was so triggered that it was causing huge problems for me physically, but also emotionally, because I was so numbed out that I could not identify what I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is you, it's okay. There is hope. There is hope, and you can heal.
Yes.
Where can listeners find you if they want to converse more or
excuse me. I am on Instagram at @NikkiJean_intuitivecoach. And it's spelt like my name is here, NikkiJean, same as NikkiJean.com. And I have a Facebook group page called Nikki Jean Intuitive Coaching and Spiritual Guidance. I'm about to go through a little bit of a rebirth as well, with some new things happening, but I'm a mm-hmm. one woman show at the moment, and I really honor my self care and mm-hmm. time to myself so that I can fill my cup and show up for people. There's so much holistically coming out now, which is really, really awesome for people to heal. It's not so rigid that it has to look like a certain way mm-hmm. to fit under an umbrella. There are so many holistic practices. Mm-hmm. And it is there. Yeah, there's so much opportunity, and to go outside of the box and ways of doing things. It's really listening to your heart, because mm-hmm. you will know and feel what is going to align for you. And it might be you're in one person's space for a short time and then you're ready to go. And I really encourage people to listen to that intuitive hit and that authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Nikki Jean. And it was a pleasure. I will include the links to Nikki Jean's Instagram and her website in the description of this video, or the show notes of the podcast if you're listening to the replay. Thank you so much, friends. If you found value in this episode, please hit the subscribe button, follow me on Wisdom, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on, and share the episode with your friends and family who will benefit from it. I look forward to talking with you all again next week. Have a blessed rest of your day.